What if everything we thought we knew about measuring human progress was wrong? While economists and policymakers have long obsessed over GDP growth and industrialization, Nobel Prize-winning economist Amartya Sen offers a revolutionary perspective. Development should fundamentally be understood as the expansion of human freedom. This paradigm shift has transformed global development thinking, influencing organizations like the United Nations and philanthropists like Bill Gates. The central insight is both simple and profound. Economic growth matters not as an end itself, but as a means to expand what truly matters, our ability to live lives we have reason to value. When we reframe development around freedom, we reconnect economics with its ethical foundations and create a vision where markets, governments, and social opportunities work together to enhance human capabilities. Development requires dismantling major unfreedoms: poverty, tyranny, limited economic opportunities, social deprivation, neglect of public facilities, intolerance, and state repression. Even wealthy nations fail their citizens when these freedoms aren't secured. This freedom-centered perspective identifies five interconnected, instrumental freedoms crucial for human capabilities. 1. Political freedoms, civil rights, and democratic processes. 2. Economic facilities, opportunities for production, exchange, and consumption. 3. Social opportunities, education, healthcare, and social services. 4. Transparency guarantees, openness and trust in interactions. 5. Protective security, safety nets for the vulnerable. These freedoms reinforce each other. Kader Mia's story illustrates this: a Muslim laborer fatally stabbed while seeking work in a Hindu area during communal riots. His poverty forced him to risk his life, showing how economic unfreedom, poverty, breeds vulnerability to violence, while social unfreedom, communal tensions, restricts economic opportunities. When any freedom dimension is compromised, it undermines the others and constrains human flourishing. Imagine two people with identical incomes, one healthy, the other with a chronic disability requiring expensive medication. Are they equally well off? The capability approach says emphatically no. Poverty is better understood as capability deprivation rather than merely low income. This perspective reveals striking paradoxes. African American men in the United States, despite having incomes 5 to 10 times higher, are consistently outlived by men in poorer regions like China or Kerala, India. The relationship between income and capability varies dramatically based on social arrangements, healthcare access, education quality, community violence, and systemic inequalities. Unemployment's true cost extends beyond lost income. While financial support can offset monetary losses, unemployment causes psychological harm, lost motivation, physical ailments, disrupted family relations, social isolation, and heightened tensions. This explains why Americans find high unemployment politically intolerable while accepting millions uninsured, something Europeans consider fundamentally unacceptable. Our ability to convert income into well-being depends on crucial factors: personal characteristics like disability or age, environmental conditions, social climate, relative position in society, and family distribution patterns. These conversion factors explain why identical incomes yield vastly different capabilities across individuals and groups. The freedom to transact is fundamental to human dignity. When denied through slavery, debt bondage, or restrictions on certain groups' employment, it represents a serious deprivation regardless of material outcomes. Markets present a paradox. While efficiently allocating resources, they remain silent on equity. Inequality becomes more pronounced when viewed through substantive freedoms rather than just income. Disadvantages often compound. A disabled person might need more income for basic mobility while facing greater employment barriers. Markets also struggle with public goods consumed collectively. Environmental preservation, epidemic control, and public health fail in private markets due to free rider problems. Education represents a semi-public good, benefiting individuals while providing society with broader benefits, explaining why successful economies invest heavily in it. Successful development strategies combine market efficiency with strategic state intervention, rejecting simplistic liberalization for integrated progress across multiple fronts. The goal is balancing market dynamism with social investments that expand capabilities for all. Some argue democracy is a luxury poor countries cannot afford, suggesting economic development should precede political freedoms. Yet history reveals no substantial famine has ever occurred in any independent democratic country with a free press. Famines have struck ancient kingdoms, authoritarian societies, colonial economies, and despotic regimes, but never democracies with regular elections and uncensored media. Democratic governments face electoral pressure to respond to people's needs, while free media exposes problems and facilitates public discourse. The Bangladesh famine of 1974 occurred during peak food availability, triggered by floods causing unemployment and price manipulation that went unchecked without democratic safeguards. The Great Chinese Famine, 1958 to 1961, killed millions because local officials couldn't report accurate information upward and citizens couldn't protest government policies. In Ethiopia's 1973 Wolo famine, food moved from famine areas to wealthier regions where people could afford it. Since famines typically affect only 5 to 10% of a population, prevention costs are modest if addressed early. Democratic systems prevent the dangerous social distance between governors and governed that often exacerbates crises. Mary Wollstonecraft's 1792 groundbreaking work established a framework for women's rights encompassing both well-being and independent agency. While early movements focused on basic welfare rights, the scope has expanded to emphasize women's role as active agents of change. This shift reframes women from passive recipients to dynamic catalysts for social transformation. Family dynamics and resource distribution are significantly influenced by women's autonomy, their ability to earn income, work outside the home, access education, and own property. The impact of women's education on social development is striking. Studies show female literacy distinctly reduces child mortality rates, even controlling for male literacy and other factors. Increasing female literacy from 22% to 75% could reduce under 5 mortality from 156 to 110 per thousand, an impact greater than either male literacy improvements or poverty reduction. Women's agency also plays a crucial role in demographic transition. Kerala state in India serves as a compelling example with its fertility rate of 1.7, below replacement level and lower than China's 1.9, primarily due to high female education and stronger women's property rights. Programs enhancing women's agency through education, economic opportunities, and legal rights show multiplicative effects on both women's lives and overall societal well-being. Freedom and responsibility exist in symbiosis. Our substantive freedoms largely depend on circumstances beyond individual control. A child denied education lacks freedom to shape their future, while an adult without health care faces constraints on both well-being and societal contribution. Sen distinguishes between human capital, viewing people as economic assets enhancing productivity, and human capability, emphasizing people's substantive freedom to lead valued lives, with economic productivity being just one aspect of human flourishing. Development as freedom requires integrated institutions, regulated markets, accountable administration, participatory legislatures creating frameworks for rights, and independent media enabling information flow. Values and social ethics shape how freedoms are understood and exercised. Though freedom has diverse aspects, political, economic, social, and cultural, this diversity enriches its fundamental value. As poet William Cowper wrote, "Freedom has a thousand charms to show that slaves, however contented, never know." Development represents humanity's ongoing engagement with freedom's possibilities, requiring commitment to expanding both individual capability and collective responsibility.